Good morning, or good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. What's your name?
Raymond Gaitan.
Okay, sir, if you just hold on a minute, we're going to get some paperwork together, and then we'll start your hearing.
Okay.
Do you have him? Okay.
And just to know, sir, here's a professor, Ben Gunn, he's here to get testimony if this is needed, sir.
So this parole office is here, if he needs testimony. And this is, the family's here?
Yes.
So you have, do you have the sheet that they sign in?
Pardon me.
Let's speak on this, has some supporters here. I don't know if I was going to speak yet, I just wanted to ask.
Are any of you going to wish to speak for Raymond?
Yeah, three of us.
So all three of you?
Or you two of them? Four.
Four? When I get to the swearing in part, it's going to include all four of you too, okay? But I'll bring that up at the time. And then I think I have it all in order, sir. Okay, would you state your full name and ABC number, sir, for the record?
Yes, Raymond Gaitan, 066883.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this afternoon. I'm going to introduce the board members that are here today. To my right is the Honorable Michael Johnson, and to his right is the Honorable Louis Canonis. My name is David Neal. I'll be the panel chair today. Prior to the hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing. Do you remember that, sir?
Advise me for the day today?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, or are you going to represent yourself, sir?
I guess I'll represent myself, sir.
All righty. Now we have four supporters that wish to speak on your behalf today. I'm terrible at butchering names and everything, but the, let's see, you got Lillian Sanchez?
Yes.
Celestino Trujillo?
Yeah.
Sandra Abasta?
Yes.
And who is the fourth one?
I am. What? Chelsea Abasta?
Chelsea?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I think I forgot our esteemed colleague, Mr. Osborne, in introducing him. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections, and I believe your parole officer is here. Is that, what is your name, sir?
Parole Officer Brett Van Gundy.
Okay. Well, in that case, we've got six people. Seven people. I need to swear everybody in. So I'll ask the same question of all of you at the same time. Do you all solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
You sound like you're getting married. Okay. The hearing will be conducted in two phases today. In phase one, we will determine the terms, if the terms and condition of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. In phase one, I'm going to read the allegations on your warrant. And after each one, I'm going to ask you if it is true or false. You understand that term?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there are three allegations on your warrant. Allegation number one is a violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 14G, as demonstrated by your failure to remain within your specified inclusion zones or out of my specified exclusion zones. I guess that would be your specified exclusion zone, as directed by your supervising officer, and abide by any and all curfews imposed by your supervising officer on or about September 30th, 2017. Is that true or is that false, sir?
That's true.
Okay. Then allegation number two is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 14G, as demonstrated by your failure to remain within specified inclusion zone or out of your specified exclusion zones as directed by your supervising officer, and abide by any and all curfews imposed by your supervising officer on or about October 20th, 2017. Is that one true or false, sir?
On October 20th, I don't recall that on the 20th. I'm sorry, sir, I just don't recall the 20th one.
Okay, so you want to say it's false then?
If they're talking about my violation itself in general, was on the 28th, not the 20th. Okay. I didn't get a warrant or nothing. I didn't sign any warrants or anything like that, so I got no idea of the dates that I could remember. This is all new to me.
Okay, well, the violation date would be October 20th, 2017. And I'm, without reading anything else, I'm relatively certain that you were contacted by your supervising officer about that. But if you don't remember or don't understand it, I'll indicate it as false, and we'll get to some more information in a minute and talk about it, okay?
Okay, thank you, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and read the third allegation, and then we'll discuss the second one. The third allegation is violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision number 14G, as demonstrated by your failure to remain within your specified inclusion zones or out of your specified exclusion zones, as directed by your supervising officer, and abide by any and all curfews imposed by your supervising officer on or about October 28th, 2017. Is that one true or false, sir?
True.
All right, so now we'll go back to allegation number two, and Mr. Osborne will give us some information from the packet, if you don't mind, sir.
Yes, sir. Allegation number two. On May 23rd, 2017, the inmate was released on home arrest status and transported to the Phoenix Parole Office for his initial intake. During intake, the inmate read, signed, and received a copy of his conditions of supervision, special conditions, GBS conditions, and home arrest conditions. The inmate was assessed at attentive supervision due to being on home arrest. On October 14th, 2017, Parole Officer Van Gundy conducted a face-to-face contact with the inmate where his itinerary was reviewed, discussed, and uploaded to the GPS monitor profile. On October 20th, 2017, the inmate was approved to leave his residence at 9:30 a.m. The inmate failed to abide by his approved itinerary by leaving at 9:01 a.m. The inmate was not pre-approved to leave his residence early, nor did he contact Parole Officer Van Gundy to get permission prior to his leaving early. And if I could, sir, also, he stated he had not received the warrant. I just wanted to note the warrant service page signed by him on the end of the warrant. It's dated 11-3 of 17, and it was signed by the inmate, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. So, sir, what is false about that, or at this point in time, do you remember it?
Yes, now I do recall it was a week prior to the issue in hand. My parole officer Mr. Van Gundy had told me that I left a half hour early, and we did discuss about it, and I thought we was clear on that, that it wasn't my fault. It was his error by putting it on the computer date, and I had my itinerary to show him the week that I went, where I got arrested. I had it in my pocket, and they took it out. I don't know if they ever saved it or they threw it away, but I was to show him the itinerary, and I never got an opportunity to show him anything. But I thought we were clear on that. I didn't know that it was a violation at that time.
Okay, so, all right. Okay, well, we'll move forward to this, and so at this time, based on your admissions to allegation one and allegation three, and based on the information in the warrant on allegation two, and the information we received from DOC just now, I would move that Mr. Gayton is delinquent and has violated, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal ways of company.
Second. Agreed.
One moment, sir. Okay, now we're moving into phase two, but prior to actually starting that, we will hear some more information from Mr. Osborne, and then we'll be able to go on and discuss the rest of the hearing. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Gayton was released from DOC custody on May 23rd of 2017. He was arrested on October 30th of 2017 by the electronic monitoring unit on a tech violation, and was returned back to custody that same day with 0 gone days, with a community supervision end date of December 12th of 2059. Current conviction, 1991, conspiracy, received life. Prior convictions, 1987, possession of cell narcotics, 4 years, and 1987, prescription only drug violation, 5 years, 3 months. He has had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3.2, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. He has a significant and lengthy disciplinary history with drugs, violence, and theft noted. Other arrests, 1983, failure to appear second degree, Arizona guilty of their sanction. 1985, possession of cells of marijuana. He's in guilty of their sanction. 1986, possession of cells of marijuana. Sorry, that one's not processed. And he has a community risk score of G1B1.
Thank you, sir. Okay, I'm going to go over a brief outline of the activities and the things that you were released. Shows that on May 23rd, 2017, you were released with the approved residence of Victory Outreach Halfway House, which is located at 3424 North 27th Avenue in Phoenix. And then on August 24th, you were approved to reside with your nephew, Celestino Trujillo, at the address of his residence. Once you moved in with your nephew, was that where you were staying the rest of the time that you were out?
Yes, sir. All after the 90 days in Victory Outreach.
90 days in which? In the outreach house?
Yes.
Okay, well, but after you got done with that, that's when you moved in with your nephew, and then you were staying with him until you were violated, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It doesn't show any employment. Did you have any employment while you're out, sir?
No, I'm a disability, sir.
Okay. All right, and then for programming. Looks like that your health issues were staffed by your PO and by Officer Preda, and you were determined oral swab to be administered rather than UAs at the time, and it chose three oral swabs, one in July, one in September, and one in October, and they were all negative. So based on this, I'm assuming that you don't currently have any drug problems.
No, sir.
Well, that's very.
Thank God I don't.
That's very commendable, especially as long as you were incarcerated, because it's as easy or easier inside than outside the drugs. Sanctions. Okay, show that June 3rd, you incurred a home zone violation from 3 p.m. to 3:08 p.m. You're on home rest status and your curfew was 3 p.m. So you were a few minutes late. Parole Officer Van Gundy made telephone contact with you and questioned you as to why you were late. And you stated that you were just running late. And you were reminded that the curfew needs to be approved if it's going to be changed even by a couple of minutes. Because everything you do is monitored as far as location goes, and that shows time of day for any movement. And you were directed to adhere to your itinerary at all times. And any more violation would result in an office staffing with the supervisor and could result in return custody. And you stated that you understood. Then on October 2nd, you were staffed by parole supervisor Fleischman regarding your home zone violation on the 30th of September. And you were again directed to abide by pre-approved itinerary schedules and only permitted to leave your residence during those specific times and only to the location approved on your itinerary. And you advised that you didn't, you advise that you're not permitted to be late for coming back from an approved activity and was directed to plan ahead. The inmate's activities were restricted based on a violation, and he had you going back to tier one on the matrix grid for home arrest inmates. And you were advised that further violations will not be tolerated. There's twice you were advised about those type of violations. Then on the 23rd of October, reported to the electronic monitoring unit where you were staffed by Senior Parole Officer Peretta regarding your continued non-compliance of not abiding by your itinerary. And you were advised that any more home zone violations will result in increased sanctions to include a possible return to custody. And you stated that you understood the directive. So is that all correct at that point, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and follow up on, I thought I heard a voice.
I know.
Oh. Got voice in my head. Too many of
them. I definitely heard that.
There was a follow up. It says that parole officer Pope was present during the contact visits with parole officer Van Gundy conducted, and that parole officer Pope was present for his contact visit with parole officer Van Gundy on October 30th, 2017, and on October 23rd, 2017. During the inmate contact visit with parole officer Van Gundy on October 23rd, officer Pope was able to hear and verify that. And parole officer Van Gundy warned the inmate, I'm sorry if I pronounced this wrong, sir. Gayton? Emphasize the importance for the inmate to follow your itinerary or schedule. In the presence of parole officer Pope, the inmate did acknowledge that he understood. And parole officer Pope, parole officer Van Gundy was very clear in his directing. And parole officer Pope on October 30th, 2017, Theo Van Gundy questioned the inmate about his home zone violation from the weekend of October 28th, October 29th, 2017. And you admitted to parole officer Van Gundy, with parole officer Pope present, that you did not adhere to your scheduled itinerary as you made a stop at a convenience store. Okay, and then after review of the inmate point, it was determined that the inmate made numerous stops to many places that were not pre-approved or authorized by parole officer Van Gundy. The inmate exhibited a very strong pattern of non-compliance. Parole officer Van Gundy on numerous occasions even explained to the inmate's sponsors how important it was for the inmate to not deviate from his approved itinerary. October 30th, 2017, parole officer Van Gundy contacted the inmate's sponsors to advise them that the inmate was being taken back into custody. They stated that they have tried very hard to explain to the inmate how important it is for him to follow his parole officer's directions at all times. So, does that part sound correct to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, why do you have so much problem following the directives? You've got you have an electronic monitor on when you're out there, and it tracks time and the location, stops, movement. You know, if you're in a car, it shows you're moving. It'll even show every stop at a stoplight. So they can pinpoint the exact place you were and how long you were at that location. And everything, that we've been given shows that you just keep violating it. Why can't you follow those rules, sir?
Well, it's hard to explain. I've done over 30 years in prison, and I'm not blaming no one for my mistakes, for the things that I've done wrong. And it just seems so innocent, the stuff that I was doing. I didn't really, I think that's what it was. But as coming back in here, it made me realize that there's nothing that important to be really dunking my head in water like I have been. In here, I do abide by all rules in here. I've been without write-ups or ticket-free in here. I do intend to listen. I do understand a lot of things. It's just, it was overwhelming being out there. And I think that, honestly, got the best of me. And this was a wake-up call for me. I think this was necessary for it to happen the way it did, because it made me realize the importance, the rules, and the policy that you guys place in the parole hearings. It's caused for people like me to understand the concept of what this is all about. I do get it now. I understand that. And there's very few things that prisoners do have, and one of them is their word. And my word is giving the parole committee a bunch of thank yous and sorries, all based on sorry for what I've done, and thank you for opening up my eyes just that much more, for understanding the concept of how important it is to be out and not coming back in places like this. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do, but I've talked to guys in here, obviously, about things like this, and I tell them after doing over 30 years, you kind of get overwhelmed, and it's little baby steps that you end up taking advantage of, and you think that because the PO gave you that little scolding, that it's okay, that she'll probably just give you another scolding, okay, but it's not that way.
Well, that's true.
And I understand that concept of it.
I do want to say one thing, sir, while we're on that subject. It's not directly related to this hearing, but you made mention of the fact that you talked to other inmates in there about this situation. I would just suggest that you be real careful who you talk to about this, because they're in there, they're not just brought back in on a technical violation from home arrest. They're in there, and they may be in there for a long time before they get out. And there are some of them that would do pretty much anything to convince you to do something to mess you up so that you couldn't be out, because they can't be out. So just be careful about, you know, who you're talking to about the situation there. And it's strictly for your own good. But as far as the violations go here, I'm sure that when you were before the board in May to get this home arrest release, that it was explained to you in many ways that it's very important that when you're out there, you follow the rules. And when you're released, they tell you that. You know, told you that several times. I would think that after spending 30 years inside, you would understand that the rules are you know, meant to be followed as long as you're under the control of DOC, because inside you do some of these violations and, you know, you get in trouble, you get written up, it's a record, you know, different
yes.
consequences. But 30 years of that, that's what they tell you all the time. Follow the rules, follow the rules, follow the rules. So it's kind of an issue. At this time, I'm going to see if the board members have any questions for you. Mr. Neomas?
I'll just keep it short. And Mr. Gaitan?
Yes, sir.
Certainly, we're not here to retry old cases. It's just more of a curiosity, understanding your past leading up to home arrest. It would seem that the large charge was for conspiracy that gave you such a large prison sentence?
Yes.
That's pretty general. Is conspiracy to what? What was the conspiracy for?
It was a conspiracy to commit murder.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I just want to understand the whole case.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Gaitan.
Mr. Khan.
You're welcome, sir.
Okay, sir. So, Mr. Khan, you were before this board not too long ago, is that right?
Yes.
And do you recall when you appeared before this board, the direction that this board gave you, sir?
Yes, sir. You come back with the dirty you wear with drugs or alcohol, you're going to spend the rest of your life in here.
Okay.
Or a very long time was more of the words.
There was also one of the conditions that you, that it was mandatory that you follow all of the DOC conditions. And that this board gave you, sir. So you have numerous violations of where you were supposed to be, and it just appears at one time you were just riding around. What were you doing? Just
when I was riding around, I actually got lost. I don't mean to laugh at that. It was I called my nephew Celestino that's sitting there, and I told him if he can pick up my niece from work, because I did have permission to go pick her up, but I got lost. I still don't know how to use the GPS on my cell phone. So I was asking directions as I was making on stoplights and things like that. So with all that driving around, that I was confused. I was trying to get back. I mean, Phoenix has grown so much, and I think that's where my overwhelming comes from, is because it's grown so much and I haven't seen it in so long, I ended up getting confused and lost. It's a scary thing, I'll admit.
That's it. Thank you so much.
All right. At this time, I'm going to let your supporters come forward and talk to us. let them tell us how much they love you and want you back out, but we'll let them talk now, and then we'll hear from your parole officer. So I'll leave it up to you all as to what order you come up, so.
I'm gonna come up first.
Just don't fight with each other for this. Please state your name.
Sandra Abasso. I'm his niece, and he's been in the prison system 30 years, but I believe people make mistakes. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been late before to work and stuff like that, just taking into consideration that you did make the mistake. And I mean, I know there's a lot of people that also violate on other major terms, and I mean, if you guys can take into consideration just to give them another chance, you know, people do make mistakes. It is a bigger Phoenix. I mean, it's been gone for 30 years, hasn't seen the outside world in a long time, which is understandable. He got himself a car, so he got lost, you know, and some people do that. I mean, but he's been doing the right thing, and just been home. He was only a couple minutes late. I mean, I'm sure this time, if he were to be let out again, I mean, I'm sure he's gonna have more restrictions and be more, you know. I mean, he's a good man, and just if you guys can just take it into consideration, you know, make mistakes. I mean, even if it's the first time, second time, I mean, but just a couple minutes, I mean, who doesn't be late for a couple minutes, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes I was on school late for just walking, I mean, things happen. But my uncle has been doing very good, and we'd like to see him back home again.
I know Sidney was talking about the family was trying to tell me,
be on time. We're always on him.
I guess where I'm going at is, was one of the things he said, that the family get busy and teach him how to use the GPS on his phone real quickly if he was released again.
Yeah. Well, my daughter Chelsea was the one giving him rides, you know, at first. And we didn't show him how to use that phone. I mean, he was just, I don't know why she hasn't showed him yet, but that's one of the first things she needs to do, show him that.
If he's like a lot of people that are used to him, he doesn't want to see it, really, you know.
I don't really like those people.
It took me a while to get into smartphones.
But he has been doing good. I mean, he's been doing real good. And I mean, he's a good man. He's, like the parole board said the first time, you know. We've been on him, we stay on him, we go to church with him. When he was at church on the streets, we went to church with him. I mean, so he's doing the right things, you know. It's just a couple minutes that, you know, I don't know why he'd be, I mean, 30 years old, I couldn't do 30 years. I know I couldn't have done that.
Okay, any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Hello, my name is Chelsea Abasto. Real Man Guy Dunn's favorite niece. I just want to start by saying my uncle should be very lucky to have me here. I am really against family members being incarcerated. I don't support when they're incarcerated because they do make their own mistakes. They get themselves where they are now. I am on the way of wanting to become a Phoenix police officer. As for my uncle, I've never met him. My mom, when he was incarcerated at first, my mom was young. I did meet him after he was released. I just thought to myself, oh, I'll go meet uncle that's done more than 30 years in prison. He's gonna wind up like every other relative in my family. But he did surprise me, and he continues to surprise me. He did come a long way from losing both of my grandparents while incarcerated to a sister, his only sister. I guess what I want to say with this is I'm very proud of my uncle. He did good behavior in 6 months. He continues to, I see potential in my uncle. Like I said, everyone else that's been in my relatives that's been let out on probation have shown me different. And with him, he showed me that there is potential in him and he does want to make a change. And he is a big impact, believe it or not, in my life. He's taught me a lot of different ways of seeing life and different ways of acting towards relatives that I have different viewing of the way they live their life. I just hope that you guys take it all into consideration on giving him a second chance of coming out. It is a, and it's everybody, you know, makes mistakes, you live to learn. And with this being said, I mean, I hope Mateo, which is my uncle, gets the chance, the second chance of coming out. It's not too much to ask for before Christmas because, like I said, I've never met him. I never had any Thanksgiving, any holidays with him. And I am hoping that you guys take it into consideration and giving him a second chance so he can prove to you the good man that he is and he has become and to overcome more obstacles that he has further in his life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And good luck.
Thank you.
My name is Lillian Sanchez. I am the girlfriend of Celestino, which is Raymond Gaitan's nephew. He had moved into our house in Phoenix in August. His demeanor for the time that I've met him, I pretty much met him in May when he got out. I never knew him before then. But his demeanor and the man that he is, you wouldn't think that he's done over 30 years in prison, let alone to have him around to where you would think he would be a negative impact on the family. He's actually quite the opposite. Got us to go to church. We've gone to a couple of different churches. The Catalyst on 67th and Indian. We've gone to Victory Outreach. Just to hear everybody's word and view on how they, where we fall in. I think more or less with the kids, my daughter, she's 21. She also lives with us in the homes as with Raymond Gaitan. And he's been a real positive impact and uncle to her as well. He's taken me to and from work. I think with the rules, with everything that he has, I think you try to find wiggle room. There should be no wiggle room, but I mean, everyone has their little hiccups along the way. He's gone to every, pretty much all the classes that he's been required to do. Every Tuesday, he does what he has to keep his, you know, to keep his statement out, I guess, pretty much to be out and about. Just the demeanor and how he's been towards the family and how he's brought the family together. I would never have thought his demeanor, like I said, is as calm and as lovable and everything and as opening and as loving as he has been. Thanksgiving really sucked without him. It would be nice to have him home for the holidays, for at least first holidays, especially since my boyfriend doesn't have his mom or dad or his grandfather or grandmother. It would be nice to have that home feeling of his people being home, bringing all the family together, and just experiencing a Christmas with him. It would be nice. I know it would just be taken into consideration allowing him to be reinstated and just give him one more chance. And I appreciate and thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
I was like 9, 10 years old when he got taken away from us. 42 years old now. Even like a father who was growing up. And so the day he got out, he got him back again. Felt good. You know, I mean, it was the closest thing I had to my mom. I don't mean it. I don't know, just having him home, it's turned my life around. I mean, I've made my mistakes. I went to prison for 14 years straight to the day. And I'm gonna go get him home, keep him the same way. Don't give him a chance at life, you know what I mean? He was young when he went in. I mean, he didn't have the opportunity to become a man out in the street, in the real world. I mean, this, I mean, taking into consideration is, he wants another chance. I'll be there 100% to help him out with every need, you know, whatever, just to keep him out, keep him home. And that's it for me. I got a letter here that I wrote from my sister. Made this. So what we're concerned, I have already gotten the niece of Raymond Gaetan. The time that has been spent with him, with my uncle, has been a joy, and has shown the appreciation with time that has been spent with family. I was very, very young when he was first incarcerated. And so throughout those years, we have both grown to become adults. Raymond has always been a very kind and considerate person. He is willing to give others the little that he has established since he's been home. He tried hard to be a good example and to encourage the younger generation to appreciate life and to take the freedom that one has for granted, and not to take freedom for granted. And he was always encouraging the kids to have a productive life. Always remember that there are consequences to all our actions. Raymond has turned to church for strength and guidance. And just to keep his faith and to encourage others to have faith and believe that all is possible. Smoker has never been one to ask anyone for help or depend on others. He's always accepted responsibilities for his actions and dealt with the consequences. He learned to be open, to learn new things, and has accepted the help that family has given so that he can be able to abide by his rules and regulations of his parole. His goal is to be productive and move forward in life and put his past behind him. So Uncle knows that it is going to be hard work to get himself established so that he can have a productive life and to be successful. This is with all the family support and faith we owe. With the best support and faith, we will all continue to be by his side and help him move forward to a better future. We got one more. This is to whom we concern. This is in regards to Raymond Gaetan. I have known Raymond Gaetan for many years before his incarceration as a teenager. He was a helpful person always. Help those in need. During the time of being incarcerated, he has matured into a grown adult. Since he has been released from prison, he has done a great deal to change his lifestyle. He still goes out of his way to help family and friends. He attends church. I know that if he is given a second chance to prove himself and show everyone that he will do better in life. Do you have any questions? That's about it.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here that wishes to speak in favor of Mr. Gagnon? I guess at this time, then, we will call our problems. Called the parole officer, Officer Van Gundy.
Moving slower through the back out.
Been there, done that.
Good afternoon, John.
State your name.
Oh, parole officer Brett Van Gundy.
Unless you have, you know, prepared statement, I'll just ask you some questions. You know, I see there are numerous violations, curfew and locations, but it seems most of the curfews are fairly close to on time. They're just not on time. It's not like 3 hours later, 4 hours later. When he made location violations, was he way out of his zones or?
No, he just needs to pay attention to what he's doing. Okay. And that's when, I told him, do it. I don't think he was out ramrodding around or anything like that. But it's just after so many times, I'm limited on what I can do.
Right.
You know, and that's what I kept trying to get across to him. Do I think he's a bad guy? No, not at all. I think he was trying. I think he was trying real hard. But just after a while, it's when you get into the threes and the fours and the fives of the same thing, it's out of my hands. So he needs to pay attention, get home early instead of late, make sure, be proactive, don't leave 5 minutes after you're supposed to leave just to ensure. You know, and I've had countless conversations with him about it, and he'll tell you, I guarantee you, that every time I've talked to him about it, and I said, don't force my hand. So.
Other than, you know, the GPS violations, do you have any other problems with him or anything?
No.
Everything else is runs smoothly?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
I have a few gray hairs because of them, but yes.
Yeah. That's understandable. I mean, you know, 30 years inside, it takes a while to get it right outside. I mean, we understand.
I will say this. He when he first got out and he went to the Victory Outreach Program, that wasn't easy for him, and he did well to complete the to do the 90 days there until we could get him in with his family members. And I know how happy he was to get over there, and I know how happy the family was to have him there. You know, but like I said, it's just got to follow the rules. And understand that he's still an inmate, not an offender. He needs to understand that those are the rules and that they're not going to change.
And when he was in the outreach program, he said he had a problem, but I can understand that 90 days of that really super tight control and everything. But he completed it. He didn't.
No, he didn't get kicked out. No, he did the 90 days, which I typically require to show some stability, show that you're going to, you know, follow rules. And then he wanted to get with his family, and I'm kind of a firm believer, if you've got a good family, you're better off being with them, and he did it the right way. He did what I asked him to do. So in 90 days, I allowed him to go over there.
So it boils down to paying attention. Close attention.
Yes, sir.
Any questions for the department?
I do.
I'm sorry.
No. So the one day, it looks like it was October 28th, when he was supposed to take his niece to work, and it just seemed like he was all over the place. But it says that he didn't, according to the points on that, he didn't take her to work and he didn't pick her up.
Right, that's correct. According to that, she was never dropped off by him that day that I saw on his GPS.
And this residence at 7116 West Forest Grove, do you know whose residence that was, where he went to?
I do not. I believe his home address, I believe, is like 6501 East Walden, but I do not know whose address that is, sir.
Okay. Did you talk to him about that day?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Okay.
At this time.
All right. Thank you.
I'm sure I probably did, but I wouldn't know off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Pinot.
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Officer, just a kind of a quick question. We have to make the tough decision here. We're not going to lean on you, but do you think the message has gotten through, or is this is an individual who just won't comply?
I think the message has probably gotten through. Because if it hasn't, and he does, if he is lucky enough to get out, with a second chance if he is so lucky. I think he's got a whole room full of people that aren't going to be very happy with him if he doesn't get it this time.
Thank you. And again, we'll vote independently. I don't want to make that like it's to stray, but thank you. That's good input. Thank you.
Some of the cases we rely on the parole officers because you have a lot of contact with them and get a better feel for everything.
I didn't know Raymond 30 years ago. All I know is that as of being on my case, though, he's always been very nice. He's always been very polite and very respectful. So I don't, Dr. Wright will attest, I don't give recommendations. But I just deal with facts, and facts are, since I've had him, yes, he's made some mistakes. Yes, he's been late a whole bunch. But he's always been very polite, very respectful, and very willing to own up to the things that he does wrong. And I do believe he tries. Like I said, but I do agree that being out was a culture shock to him, and I think it's hit him harder than it has some. So I'll leave it at that.
That can be very
hundred. And if I may, thank you for providing the right word. I couldn't find it. I wasn't trying to press you for a recommendation.
No, no, no.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care of that. Okay. So I think. Well, sir, we're coming to the close of your hearing today. The board will go into discussion in a couple of minutes, and we'll determine whether we're going to return you to home arrest or whether to revoke it. Before we go into discussion, though, we'd like to allow you another chance to tell us anything that you think might be pertinent. We just ask that you don't repeat yourself.
I wrote a little something that I want to say.
Okay.
Like I said, sitting here in the last 45 days made me realize I do not have the luxury to take for granted for the chance of at freedom. The rules and guidelines set forth from the parole board are there for a reason, and they're marked for the good, period. When I was granted parole, there was no special clause in the fine print that read, if curious or bored, or even if you have extra time on your schedule, do what you want. No. There is no excuse for my choice. As innocent as I thought I was at the time, rules that have been set in place will immediately revoke my parole. This is no gray area or a chance to explain. I understand that this whole hardly my life now outside of the gates will be determined by every decision, small or big, that I make. I just need to take things more slowly. If given an opportunity to be placed back in parole, I will continue to provide negative drug testing, alcohol results, and continue to do everything that the PO does tell me and the parole board. And with that said, I just want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to hear me out on this day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask one question.
Pardon me?
I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
Sir, on the day that you were supposed to take your niece to work, you went to an address at 7116 West Forest Grove. Do you recall whose place that is, where you went to? 7116 West Forest Grove Avenue. Do you recall whose residence that was?
Where did you go? The morning that you were on October 28th, when you were supposed to take your niece to work, you went to a residence at 7116 West Forest Grove, and then you went to a vehicle maintenance facility located at 3933 North 67th Avenue.
On the 28th, I don't recall. I never heard the word or a street or an address like such thing. I can't recall off the top of my head, sir. I'm sorry. I wish I could remember. I would tell you.
So, do you remember on the October 28th, you were supposed to take your niece to work at Walmart? Do you recall that time? You have permission?
Are we talking in the morning?
You have permission to take your niece to work from 9:30 to 11:30 at Walmart located at Dysart and McDowell Road in Avondale.
That I do know.
Okay, you didn't take her to work. You went to somebody's house.
That would be on a Saturday, if I'm not, do you have a calendar?
Yeah, it doesn't say what day it was, it just say the, October 28th. Yeah, okay, they say, yeah, it would have been a Saturday.
That's on a Saturday, I don't recall, sir, I'm sorry.
Do you recall not taking your niece to work that day?
That was that night.
No, during the day, sir.
I know what. During the day. Oh, where is 71? That's not far away from my house, actually, where I'm staying, and I can't remember. Is anybody there that my family know who that is? I'm not sure who it is.
I know he's the one that used to take me to work. That day I got called in early and I left and I got out earlier. Okay. So I went in from 8:45 to 5 instead of my normal 9:30 to 6:30 shift. So that meant he couldn't take me because of the fact that it deterred from the itinerary that we already gave Brett.
Okay, so
he had actually that day.
Okay, so I'm trying to determine
that address is the cousin Malady's on 71st, but we don't know for sure because we don't know if that's where he went.
The cousin Michelle
or the friend Michelle's house where Malady stayed. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, that could be Michelle's, huh?
Well,
I can't remember, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, a lot of the addresses we would have to tell in like certain places, like where it was Circle K, Red Pine, because of the fact that he didn't know exact addresses and he didn't have GPS, but I mean.
I'm just trying to understand the day that he did not take you to work, he was out and about. What he did that day, where'd he go? He went over to somebody's house and then he went to a car maintenance facility, and I'm just trying to figure out what he did, if he remembers what he did that day. He didn't take you to work and he didn't pick you up.
Yeah.
And he had authority to pick you up and authority to take you to work.
The car lot, was it on off of, it was like the week, you just got the car, so I know we had to turn in his license plates. So the 71 address, is that the day that you did the address change for your driver's license and you took the actual copy to the actual car lot? Was that the day that you had to do that?
So the place is 3933 North 67th Avenue, which is like 67th Avenue just south of Indian School.
Yes, there's a third party DMV inside there.
Uh-huh.
And they required him to get an address change because his address on his license was at Victory Outreach, and the car lot required him to get it at our address because they had just got a car, I believe on September 30th was the day that I kept asking for extensions for him because of the fact they were trying to get the vehicle. So that's what it is. The 71, I don't know, but I mean, I know that the third party DMV is where that one is.
Yes, sir.
On one occasion, I do remember either you or Celestino calling me or text messaging me asking for an extension because he was in the middle of trying to buy a car. But if you remember, I texted back that he was already in violation before.
Yes.
But I don't think that's the same day. But I do remember he was already in violation when you guys sent me the text.
Yeah, I believe that was the 30th. But I'm just thinking of more or less that's what they. Because I remember he had all kinds of things that he had to do. I know he had to go to the doctors. I know.
Okay.
His Saturday appointments were for medical doctors. But more, I know that the because they, I know they wanted him to go in. But it didn't have an itinerary, and I knew it was the same day, so he was gonna go back from taking me on the way back because the car lot was in Avondale off of the I-10 and Avondale Boulevard.
Okay, all right, thank you.
So it had to have been a third party that he was doing the address change at.
Okay.
No. Okay, sir. The board's gonna go into discussion. We'll make a determination whether to reinstate your home arrest or whether to revoke it. While we're in discussion, we'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're talking to you, but we won't be. If we do, perchance, come up with a question, we'll go out of discussion and specifically address you. But normally, we're just talking amongst ourselves. We ask that you stay on the phone, but remain silent, and you can hear everything that we're doing because of open meeting laws. You understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
We also ask that the audience remain silent during discussion. You may hear things that aren't agreeable to you, or we may ask questions of each other. But if we want any answer, just like that discussion about the address, we will specifically address you. Other than that, we ask for you to remain silent. Okay. The board is now in discussion. I like to classify hearings like this one as very interesting. And I don't mean that it's, I like to see them all the time. It brings up points and issues that we have to deal with on a regular basis. But I see a man that spent the majority of his life in prison, and after 30 years in prison, was fortunate, went out on home arrest, and he seems to do real well in most areas, but he has a real problem getting his curfews and locations right. And I can understand where, after being institutionalized like that, some of those things might seem like very, very minor points. But the issue is not, you know, that he was 5 minutes late. It's that he didn't follow directions, and some of the things he knew he wasn't supposed to leave. Until a certain time, he left early. Maybe he didn't want to get stuck in traffic or, you know, things like that. And those are the kind of things. The whole idea is to get them ready, you know, to become citizens and follow the rules. Because if you can't follow those rules, you can't follow the laws that will keep you out of jail. But I also see a very, very good family support. And although they can't make his decisions, they can't make him do what he's supposed to do, it is ultimately up to him. It seems like they're going to stand over him with a very close eye to make sure that he doesn't mess up, because they want him home more than they want him incarcerated. And it's very heartening to see a family stick together under these kind of conditions. Most people pretty much disown their relatives that spend that much time in prison. It's really tough. That many violations, I can see where the parole officer has a, you know, it gets to a point he has no choice. It's kind of like we put a special condition on something, and the PO really has no choice but to follow that special condition, even if that's not what they would normally do. But it does seem that did we have a man here that has grown up a lot and really wants to try hard, and whether it be that he didn't really think it was that important or whether he just totally overwhelmed with the difference life is when you're back out with your family after spending 30 years incarcerated, it's hard to tell. My impression of this gentleman is that he does want to become a productive citizen. He does want to be out of jail. He does want to do the right thing. He's just having some trouble organizing it. I'm inclined to make a motion to return him to home arrest, but I'm willing to listen to a discussion from my fellow board members at this time.
I'll keep it short. I think that should this board vote to return to home arrest, I would ask for a really narrow restriction, because I think it would, to put it bluntly, I don't want to see this individual in front of this board again. I want him to succeed out there and not be some sort of nightmare problem for any parole officer that has to deal with him, because he's so thick-headed that he won't adhere to the conditions. Yet, I agree with everything you've said. I'm not trying to be a hard guy.
Right.
I'm just saying I want to see this guy succeed out there, and I want a very narrow lane. That's my opinion.
Mr. Thompson?
You know, I agree. The only issues he has is joining. One of the things we do when people are coming out and they get on regular parole is that we put a stipulation on them that they can't drive, but this stipulation wasn't put on them. And one of the reasons they get that stipulation is because it can be very confusing when they get out and they're driving around and doing something. But we also want to make sure that they're not driving around and going and visiting and getting with the wrong people. So I was concerned about the addresses where he was actually going to find out where. Is this a family's house? Is this one of his old friend's house? What is he doing? I think Mr. Gagnon has to realize and understand that as long as he's on that monitoring system, time has changed since he's been incarcerated. They can go back and check each and every movement that he made, where he stopped, when he stopped, what the location was, how long he was there, why he was there. It goes all the way down to lists, stopping at a Circle K, stopping at a 7-Eleven. That's done for a reason, to try to make sure that they stay on the right track. The reason to do the monitoring system is to monitor, to try to keep them on the right track and track them with what they're doing, to assist along with what the family's doing. And it kind of appears that he, at some point, was just riding around, looking around all over Peoria, trying to figure out what was going on. So I think I'm with Mr. Quinones that I would hate, I don't want to see him back before this board again. He has to understand that he has to follow the rules, and when he puts in his plan for his movements and his time zone, that he has to stay within those time zones. Those are not something that's negotiable that he does, and it's for a reason. I'm sure the family wants him to do the right thing, but you know, if he gets out there and he has a car and he's driving around, it takes no time to get with the wrong people and wind up in trouble. No time at all, just to wind up in some trouble. So that's the reason why the PO monitors his movement and what he's doing, to try to just get him geared and acclimated to doing the right thing. So I would hope that we don't see Mr. Guyton here again with this issue, and then following that, the family, you know, try to do it. If he's to take you to work and he can't do it, then that doesn't mean that during that period of time he can go out. Like if he says, I'm going to take you to work, and he has a 2-hour period to take you to work, and he doesn't happen to take you to work, that does not give him the authority, just, okay, I got 2 hours, I can just go ride around and do whatever I want to do. You know, no, that means he needs to, if he didn't take you to work, means he needs to stay home and get permission from his PO. He absolutely has to have permission from his PO as long as he's on that monitoring system too. Anywhere he goes, he has to have permission. Anywhere he stops, he has to have permission. And if he doesn't have that, then he's not able to do it. So he has to understand that. So I would hope that he said he's been in custody for 45 days, that he's learned that, and that I'm with Mr. Quinones. I definitely don't want to see him come back before
this board again, and he has a lot of time that if he has to come back before this board and get incarcerated again to do.
You know, this has been a long hearing, but I want to follow up by saying that if he appears before this board again, it's not going to be that long a hearing.
Right.
Well, no. You know what I mean. We've gone through due process here because it's important. All I'm saying is if we see him before this board again, I think it's going to be a much shorter hearing. That's
one thing I do want to say. If we see him before this board because he has been successful on his home arrest and he's trying to go to normal parole, that's fine and good. That's the only reason we want to see him there. Yeah. We don't want to see him here because anything that says revocation on it or anything else like that.
Point will take.
I understood what you meant.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that we had it all explained well. So with that, I'm going to make a motion.
We're running out of sitting time.
And based on everything, you know, all the information that's in warrant number 2017W3649, all the information supplied by Officer Gundy and all the information supplied by Mr. Gayton and his relatives and everything else in the discussion, I would move to return Mr. Gayton to his home arrest and with some additional conditions of supervision that I will add in a minute. It takes a little while to get on there, so I'm going to move to return him to community home arrest, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, and then I am going to stipulate some additional conditions. Everything they had to begin with. And the original conditions with at least placement and everything originally at the discretion of the parole office. And that's, you know, things can change. They have to do an investigation and approve it. It might be tied for some new programs. Leave all that there. I'm trying to see what we have check boxes, and sometimes they're not totally what we're looking for. Since there doesn't seem to be any drug problems, I don't want to put the first positive that we do. This is going to be under number 10. Because the violations that we're dealing with are curfew and GPS locations, I'm going to put on here that the, like this, the PO to start revocation. For UAs, it's normally done as upon the first problem, and I'm going to put a revocation. To start revocation upon first curfew or location violation, but I'm going to put with P at PO discretion. That gives the parole officer more than one chance. You know, he can do one or two, but he's going to have to be tighter than he was without this on there. But I always hate to put that upon the very first because the PO's hands are totally tied at that point in time. So all of the original conditions would be included, and unless the board has something beyond that to add. Those would be the conditions, and do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
We, you know, it's not real like you, but we don't want to see you in here again until you're ready to move to regular parole. You know, that's a good reason to be in here, not a bad reason. Okay, and,
yes,
and if your family tells you that you're going to violate those rules, listen to them as well as the PO. So use them as a backup. If you're not sure, always ask them. If you, even if you're sure and they say no, 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 then listen to them. Because if you stay at home when your itinerary says you're going to go take your niece to work, you're not going to get in trouble for not going. You might be asked, well, why didn't you go? But you're not going to get in trouble for it. But if you go places you're not supposed to go, and you understand that about the, if you got a 2-hour time period to take her to work and back, that's intended so you can take her to work and then you can come home, not that you can go other places.
Yes,
you understand,
sir,
all that? And you think you can get by those rules?
This time, I'm gonna even put my silhouette on the damn house where I'm gonna be standing and sitting all day.
Okay. Well, we certainly hope so, sir. You got great family support, and that's a very important thing. And it seems that you have the desire to do it right. And everybody in the room has a lot of faith in you right now, so don't destroy that faith, and mostly don't destroy it with yourself. You to you, that's the most important connection. You have to make those final decisions, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, we wish you all luck in the world. Thank you for attending your hearing today, that it will end your hearing.
All right, thank you, sir. Thank you.